Kitchens Creek Baptist Church in Mole, Louisiana, and we're delighted and honored to have him and his wife with us. And God bless you, Milton, as you
thank preach this gospel
for thank you.
For his glory our good.
Amen.
Well, it's good to be here. Thank you so much. Thank you for the invitation to come and for your gracious hospitality to Claudia and I. They asked Mr. Spurgeon one time, they said, will you preach on Sunday morning to saints or sinners? And his answer was, if I preach concerning Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, I shall kill two birds with one stone and give both saints and sinners a profitable theme for thought. There's but one message of the gospel, and it has a voice to all. Saints know no sweeter music than the name of Jesus. And sinners know no richer comfort than his person and work. When we preach to all without exception. When we preach that Christ is all. I had a lady tell me one time, approach me after service one Sunday morning, and she said, Christ is not all. I said, the scriptures say Christ is all. How in the world we could ever argue with that? When we preach Christ to all, we preach Christ is all, for he is all to all. He comes as life to the dead and life to the living. And our Lord has changed his position, but he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, forever. I only have one message. The believer doesn't want to hear anything else. The sinner doesn't need to hear anything else. Christ is all. And I invite you to turn with me to Mark chapter 10. What a comfort this is to my heart to be able to read this passage of Scripture and make a few comments. Our Lord, in verse 1, said he arose from thence and came into the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan. And the people resort unto him again. And as was he was wont, as was his custom, he taught them again. Verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as they went out of Jericho, we have no record that our Lord ever returned to Jericho. He was there, and he passed through Jericho. You know, we get so used to church going on that we just think church is always going to be there. Just whenever I take fancy to go, preacher's going to be there. Doors are going to be open. We're going to have service. Well, there's some going to be surprised at Kitchens Creek Baptist Church tomorrow. The doors are going to be closed. I'm not there. Didn't have anyone to fill in for us this time. So the doors are shut. Not first time that I've come out here that we've just canceled services. 3 or 4 years ago I did it, just canceled services. And I ran into a man a few months later, and he said, I came to your church once. He said, and nobody showed up. I said, you ever been there before? No. I said, have you come back since? No. I said, well, I'm glad you came that time. But you know, we get to the point where we just think, just at any time we take a fancy, we show up. It doesn't matter that the pastor's there week after week after service preparing. But just whenever we want to. I'll never understand how believers can just sit home when God's people are meeting. I don't think it'll happen. You know, your days are no different than anybody else's day. Our problems are no greater than anyone else's problems. And how I got on that, I don't know. Oh, I remember now why. Because our Lord passed through Jericho and He didn't go back. The Lord may be passing through Jericho for us tonight. Don't just take it for granted. The sun's going to rise for you in the morning. I tell you, while you have an opportunity, you listen to what the Lord God of heaven has to say and you respond to it. Our Lord came to Jericho, and He went out of Jericho with His disciples and a great number of people. And blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. A blind man. Didn't say he couldn't see. Said he was blind. There's a lot of people that can't see. They've lost their sight. They're not blind. They still have their memory. You can talk to people that have lost the sight and they remember what colors look like. You can talk to them about red and they understand that. You can talk to them about the clouds in the skies and they understand that. But you can talk to a blind man about colors, and he has no idea what you're talking about. You can talk to a blind man about the clouds in the sky, the formation of the clouds, he has no idea. You might well be speaking a foreign language to him. That's the way we are. Oh, we know the terms. We know colors. We can say the words. We can talk about red, blues, greens. We can talk about the clouds, the different formations of the clouds. But if we've never seen them, we have no clue what they mean. Religious people talk about divine things. They know the terms. They talk about Jesus. They talk about God. They have no clue what these words mean. When they say God, and we say God, we're not saying the same thing. When we say Jesus and they say Jesus, sounds the same, doesn't it? But we're not talking about the same thing. When the believer speaks of praying, the religious person speaks of praying, it sounds like we're saying the same thing. But we're not. Totally different meaning to it. This man was blind. They knew the terms. Religiously, we know the terms. We grew up, probably in this congregation tonight, without exception, we grew up knowing the terms. And we had no clue as to the meaning of these terms. This man, Bartimaeus, blind, the son of a blind man, he sat by the highway side begging, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still That's my message tonight. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort. Rise. He calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now our Lord's dealing with Bartimaeus 2,000 years ago is the same with as he deals with every blind sinner today. Every sinner who comes to him crying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Are you guilty? You can cry for mercy. Now, if you're not guilty, you cry for justice. You have to be guilty. And when you're guilty, you can cry out for mercy, the Lord God of heaven. But I want us to look at this just a moment. Think about these three words. Jesus stood still. Can you imagine that? Our Lord stopping on this road. It's a rare thing for him to be found like this, stopping, standing still. Every time you read of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's always moving. We don't read about his house. His house is not described, what it looked like on the outside and what it looked like on the inside, what his furniture's like and all this. We have no clue. He was always doing something. He had no place to lay his head. He continually went about doing good. He didn't wait for people to come to him. He goes after the lost sheep. The scripture says he's come to seek and to save that which was lost. Paul said Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. But then all of a sudden we read here in Mark chapter 10 that Jesus stood still. He's on his way to Jerusalem. And his face is steadfastly set to accomplish his great work. Look at verse 32. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem. And Jesus went before them. And they were amazed. He wasn't lagging behind, having to be dragged along the road. He was heading off to Jerusalem. And they were following him. And they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12. And he began to tell them what things would happen unto him. And this is what he said. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priest and unto the scribes. And they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him. And the third day, he shall rise again. He told them about that. He was on his way to Jerusalem to accomplish this great work. This was his mission. But something important, something special caused him to stop on this journey. He didn't get tired. need to sit down and rest. Burnout wasn't his problem. Fear couldn't stop him. He knew what awaited him in Jerusalem. But it was the cry, think of this, the cry of a poor, blind beggar. Heaven itself stood still at the cry of a beggar. Glory stood still at the cry of an outcast. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, has stopped the Lord of glory. And the Lord of glory waits in perfect readiness to attend this one who is pleading and grant him his desire. Cry for mercy has stopped him. Don't tell him how good you are. He'll continue right on his way. He'll pass right on by. Cry for mercy. Cry for mercy. He was ready, willing, able to do for this blind man everything that this blind man needed done for him. You know, and he stopped. He stood still. And he was at his beck and call. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Think about this. Suppose tonight you had the ear of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask what you will, and you can have it. What would you ask for? What would you ask for? Don't answer me. I just want you to think about it. What would you ask for? Every one of us have problems. We'd like to see those problems taken care of. We've talked, we've had a lot of different conversations, and in the course of these conversations over the last few days, different problems have come up. We have problems, don't we? Oh, there's something. Something that we'd like to see resolved. Well, what if we had the ear of the Savior tonight? We had found the magic lamp and had rubbed it and the genie popped out. Anything you want, what would you desire? What do you desire? Are you blind? You know, if you're not blind, you don't need it. You don't need sight. But this man, he cried for mercy. 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 Have you cried for mercy? Do you cry for mercy? I tell you, don't ever think you don't have anything to pray about if we do nothing but cry for mercy. Mercy. This cry for mercy, it always stops the Savior. He hasn't changed. If you cry for mercy today, you command the Savior's full attention. You command His power. And from Him flows the grace which He is so able to bestow. That fountain filled with blood that flows from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. You cry for mercy. What do you pray for your children? What do you cry out to the Lord for your children? And I know if you have children, you have problems. They're a problem from the day that they cry their first lie. They're a problem. They break your heart. What do you cry for? Lord, be merciful to them. That ought to be our desire. It doesn't matter if they live in the poorhouse, or that the Lord would be merciful to them and gracious to them, that He had revealed Christ to them. That always stops the Savior. And He's never too busy to hear this cry. To this day, the Lord Jesus Christ stands still, ready to hear the cry for mercy. David, in Psalm 77, he said, I commune with mine own heart. He said, in my spirit made diligent search. Listen to these questions that he asked. We were talking Thursday, Brother Donnie in his message, about the questions. Listen to these questions. David said, will the Lord cast off forever? Will He be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Doth His promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He, in His anger, shut up His tender mercies? You know how David answers that? He doesn't. Not in words. He uses a punctuation mark. Selah. Think back on this. God doesn't change. Will the Lord cast off forever? No. He said, He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Will He be favorable no more? He had to quit being God, to quit being favorable to us. Is His mercy clean gone forever? How can it be? How many times did the psalmist tell us it in Psalm 136? After every verse, for His mercy endureth forever. Forever. Why did He open the Red Sea? Because His mercy endureth forever. Why did He open it for Israel? Oh, that rebellious nation. Well, it certainly wasn't because of that nation. It was because of His mercy. Why did that Red Sea close and drown Pharaoh and all of his armies? Because of that same mercy on His people. Israel wasn't in that wilderness a week. And they began to complain and murmur. They said, Lord, brought us out here just to starve us to death. They said, let's go back to Egypt. Let's go back and eat those leeks and onions and garlic. Oh, my. You can just take so much of that good stuff, can't you? I love onion, but I just want so much of it. I like garlic, but just to a point. Just to a point. The Lord God of heaven fed them manna from heaven, and they wanted leeks and onions. Leeks and onions. Water. That water that flowed from that rock, and somehow or another followed them for 40 years. And they wanted to go back and drink out of that old muddy Nile. Is His mercy clean gone forever? No. His mercy endureth forever. Doth His promise fail forevermore? Has one of them ever failed? You ever found one of them to fail? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Forgot. I only read where He ever forgot one thing. Our sin. That's the only time. And I can't even imagine that He could do that. But that's what the Scriptures say. He's cast them away. Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? If it were so, there wouldn't have one of us be here tonight. We'd all be in hell. Every one of us. Can a woman forget her suckling child? Hard to imagine, isn't it? But in this day and time, we find it taking place. Can you imagine it? Can you imagine? You know, you read it. I read it. And how in the world could a mother do that? But the scriptures say, yes, she might. But he will not forget us. He will not. What caused him to stand still? A beggar crying for mercy. Herod never stopped him. Pilate never stopped him. Pilate said, don't you know that I have the power to give you life or take your life? And our Lord said, you could do nothing except it be given to you from heaven. They couldn't stop him. They tried, didn't they? Tried every way they could. Couldn't stop him. Well, the chief priests and the scribes couldn't, could they? They tried. They tried. Even as we read that foresight of the cross there in verse 32, 33, 34, that never stopped him. But a blind beggar stopped him. A blind beggar. I think one of the biggest problems is just finding a beggar today. Everybody's rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And the Lord said, knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? It's just hard to find somebody's got a need today. Reading, I tell you, sometimes I prefer to go inside these prisons and preach than preach on the street. At least there I run across somebody every once in a while that's hit rock bottom. Every once in a while. Now, you've never seen legalism till you get inside of a prison. They're worse than Baptist. I told one the other day, and I probably told you this before, I said, you know, you'll put somebody in hell for smoking a cigarette, but you don't give it a second thought taking a shank and stabbing somebody 50 times with it. You don't give it a thought, but don't smoke! It's so sad. But every once in a while, you find somebody that's hit rock bottom. And I tell you, talk about a joy to preach to. Our Lord said, our problem is we're rich, we're increased with goods, and we have need of nothing. I get tired of people complaining about gas prices. Oh, I'd like for them to be 15 cents a gallon too. Trust me. But when Claudia and I got married, I worked an hour to buy 3 gallons of gasoline. How many gallons of gasoline do you buy with what you make an hour today? Probably about the same, isn't it? Yeah, it was only 30 cents a gallon. That was up from 17 before we got married, and it rose to 30 cents a gallon. People have no need. All they think about is their pocketbook. They never think about their soul. But every once in a while, you find somebody that's a beggar. Bartimaeus was the lowest in society. He didn't work. Oh, make him get out and get a job. He didn't earn his bread. He begged. We'd passed him on the street. We'd probably pass right on by. If you like me, I found myself many a time just crossing over and going down the other side of the road just so I wouldn't have to walk by him. Beggars on the street. we'd probably pass him by. We'd probably say, I wonder why they let them sit out here on the street and do that. But Jesus stood still. Let me tell you something. You can never say you're unworthy. You can never say, I just don't believe you'd save somebody like me. Tell me your worst. Just go on and tell me. No, don't. But tell me in your heart why you think that the Lord would never save you. And I can show you that the Lord showed one just like you mercy. I stand before you tonight and I say to you, He saved the worst among us when He saved me. Don't go back to Texas and ask them about me. I don't even go to the little town where I grew up, Pearland, down in Brazoria County. You know what? You go in there, you ask them, you say something about me, they said, I still can't believe it. Milton Howard, a preacher. I can't either. He ain't much of one anyway. He saved the worst among us when He saved me. We come just as I am. We sang that hymn. Oh, in my hand no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Mercy doesn't look at our excellencies. It looks for our need. Our need. You cry for mercy, and He'll listen to you. This man, it tells us here that he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. He began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, saying, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came, blind as a bat. He couldn't see. Had he come? By faith. Faith is the subject of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He came. But he didn't come seeing. He came by faith. He's a blind man. Came by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he didn't sing out. He didn't pray. He just cried. You know, probably he couldn't put two words together in a prayer. You've heard people pray. I have. I'm thinking of a man right now. I don't even know if he's still alive. But I always felt like if there was such a thing as the Lord giving a person a gift to pray, that man had it. I don't. This man didn't. Probably couldn't have put two words together in a prayer. I think about that Pharisee praying. Now he stood and prayed thus with himself. But that publican, off over in a dark corner of that temple, probably behind one of the columns, who wouldn't even show himself to the rest of the gathering. He wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. I was sitting out there by the pool this afternoon. I was watching those birds drink. Don't have anything to do with what I'm saying to you right now. But I remember reading Spurgeon one time. He was talking about grateful heart. He said, watch a bird drink. They take a drink and they turn their eyes up to heaven. And I was sitting there watching those birds on that bird bath today drinking that water. And every time they got a drink, they turn their face up and thank the Lord for that
that drink of water don't have anything to do with this. This man wouldn't even lift up his eyes. But he smote upon his breast. And he said, God, be merciful. I love the Spanish. It says, God, be my propitiation. Se propicia mi pecador. My propitiation. My go-between. Be merciful. Merciful. And they tried to get him to quieten down. He just cried a great more. The more. I've read that, said that wrongly every time I've said it. The cried the more a great deal. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. You're not going to quiet him down. You don't have to strike while iron's hot. You don't have to push anybody into it. Had a person spoke to me the other day about being baptized. And I said, just let me know. I said, I'll never say a word to you about it. You're going to come to me. You say, well, aren't you afraid that you might discourage them? How could I discourage someone that the Spirit of God's moving on?
Amen.
They'll come. They will. I've had people tell me that, and seven never mention it again. And I'm thinking about one instance. For 7 years, they never mentioned it. 7 years later, they mention it again. And I tell them, I said, okay, we'll talk about it. That time, they wanted to talk about it. On the other end, I had a lady come one morning to service. She said, Brother Milton, would you baptize me? I said, sure, we'll talk about it. She said, no, I mean now. Would you baptize me now? And I said, yeah, I will. She said, no, I mean right now. I said, well, we're fixing to have service. I said, after we get through service, you know, I mean, we didn't have a baptistry. We had to drive down to the river. I said, after we get through a service, I said, we'll drive down to the river and I'll baptize you. You wait that long? I'll wait that long, she said. As soon as we got through a service in church, we loaded up and we went down to the river. And she was baptized. You're not going to discourage someone. They tried to quieten this man down, and he just cried the more a great deal. Why? He has a need. He's in misery. He's weary of these long years of darkness. He desires light. And now there's some hope to get that light. And the only thing he cried for was mercy. Mercy. And he pleaded the name of Jesus for that mercy. It's that name that makes the angels rejoice and causes the devils of hell to tremble. Jesus, thou son of David. Oh, Savior, you're a prince. The son of David, the only one who has a right to sit on that throne. The Messiah, the sent one of God. The Savior. If you know what he is, what he came to do, what he's done, you know what he's doing. You know anything about his character, his nature, his power, his promises? This man did, and he pled that. That was his plea. He pleaded what Christ came to do, came to seek and to save. He came to save sinners. And we got one. Here's one. Came to save that which was lost, and here's one right here. You know, when people say, well, I can see, he doesn't give them light. When people say they're not lame, he doesn't cause them to walk. He makes the lame to walk. He causes the blind to see. He heals the sick. And those who think they'll go to heaven by their own doings, they'll never cause the Savior to stand still. What was special about this man? He had a need. Well, and it was a great need. He was poor. He's blind, no bread, no light. Is your need so great as to make you feel that it's greater than anyone else's need? You know, people always, you don't tell them anybody you're hurting, because their pain's worse than yours. My pain's worse than yours. The other day, you know, I'm getting arthritis in my hands. And somebody, the other day I was sitting, you know, I just rub them. It helps. Makes me think it's helping anyway. And this person said, you know, your hand's hurting. I said, yeah. And they said, that's the way my neck hurts. I said, man, my hand hurts worse than your neck. I said, I can't feel your neck, but I know my hands are hurting. He said, don't worry about telling everybody else your pains. They got pains worse than you've ever even heard of before. I tell you, but is your need great? I wish it would be with our soul. You know, the funny thing is, my body can hurt worse than yours, but my soul's better than yours. That's the way we are. Is your need so great that you feel you're going to be doubly punished? You deserve to be? You'll never cry for mercy until you know you're without hope. He had a big need, but he had a big desire. He didn't need any luxury. Blind man just needs a sight. And I know I've come out here for so long, you've heard every story I have to tell, but I'm going to tell you this and again. We're getting old enough, I can't remember I told them, and I know you can't remember I told it, so I'm going to tell you again. I was preaching in Mexico one time, something along this line, and I was talking about dead men. And I said, dead man don't need a bicycle, don't need a car, doesn't need food, doesn't need a house. I said, what's the one thing a dead man needs? I mean, I was waxing an elephant. That's waxing elephant for the, you don't, waxing eloquent. But anyway, I said, what's the one thing dead man needs? Little boy sitting right down on the floor. He said, a coffin. I could care less if I had a coffin. I'm dead. I need life. I need life. That's my only need. It's life. You know what a sinner needs? Saving. You know what a blind man needs? Sight. You know what a guilty man needs? Mercy. Pardon. And I love his prayer. What a prayer this man had. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And I tell you, if in your heart there's this work of grace, nobody will ever stop you crying or coming. Nobody will. If it hair lips the devil himself, you'll come. You'll come. And he had great faith. The Lord said, thy faith hath made thee whole. This is the faith of a blind man, not adulterated by the confidence that comes with sight. Faith comes not by seeing. This man heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. And when he heard, he began to cry. The faith of this religious mess we got going on today and the thing they call faith, it's by sight. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, well, what about when you lose your faith? I said, the best thing that ever happened to you. But I said, the faith that God gives us, you never lose. You never lose it. Oh, it comes by hearing. Bartimaeus believed this report concerning the Messiah. Oh, I tell you, listen to the report. Believe it. Thank God that you have a place to hear it. Thank God that you have a pastor that'll preach it. If you're a hearer of the gospel, you have everything you need. That's reading the prophet Isaiah said, incline ye ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still. Thank you, brother.
we need to hear that.